afternoon. Welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake. And they do everything John Deere. So if you need a tractor, attachments, parts, service, give them a call. Their phone number is 226-9226, 530 area code. Or did I give the address? 3119? Yeah.
3119 Twin View Boulevard?
Yeah, there you go. Or you can catch them on...
I don't know, but I know it.
Yeah, you know it. I go there. Yeah, I know where it's at. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. And as far as the website goes, we have people who listen from all over the place, and we have a lot of people who listen now during the show, but after, later this afternoon, Robert will take out the Moments of Free Enterprise and slam those little bumper songs together and make the whole thing interruption-free, and it is free to listen to. You can find archives dating back to 2010, before I started choking.
Yeah.
And maybe not.
Yeah, and if
maybe
you want...
maybe that's a current event.
Yeah, and if you're interested in being a sponsor of the show, you can go to our website as well, and there is a sponsor tab on there, or you can give us a call, and we can make some special arrangements for you.
Yeah, we're happy to promote you, your products, all that kind of stuff, as long as you're not a weirdo or selling dope. I have just a thing about that, for heaven's sakes. They're advertising everywhere.
Wow. Like, so you're not into the whole dope and fentanyl?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I had a guy down in the corner was hawking some
store.
Stuff down there.
Some... Yeah, we're freezing you out.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So anyway, you've got all that on there. Mr. Wood, continue on about the... because there was a video that was really making the rounds on YouTube, and I'm going to go find it and add it. It was done by the After School people, SKOOL, and it was mass psychosis, the killing of the mind. That was it, and it talked about all that, how they just get these guys to go in lockstep. And there isn't anybody who hasn't noticed that over the last couple of years.
I think so. And even today, as in Arizona, for instance, the masking phenomena has subsided quite a bit. You will still see people driving down the street.
Yes.
In a closed car, you know, air conditioners running, wearing a mask.
Alone.
Alone. And
no.
It makes you look at them twice. I mean, you go, what? You shake your head. This mass formation psychosis is very hard to break out of once you're in it. But people are falling out now, I think, around the world, you know, recognizing all of the protests and stuff that are happening around the world. Some people are falling out of it now and saying, hey, wait a minute, you guys are pulling a fast one here. Which is a good thing, but it's very hard for some people to get out of that state once they're in it.
Yeah, yeah. There was a news conference. I think it was last week when Ron DeSantis came to the microphone, and there were a bunch of high school kids standing behind him, and they were all masked up. Of course, he didn't have a mask on, and and he turned around and he kind of got in their face a little bit. He said, "Hey, you guys don't need to wear those masks." He said, "We don't do mask theater here anymore. So it's up to you. If you want to wear it, that's fine." And like all but I think one reached up and took that mask off. They didn't want to wear them, but you know, they had to. And I'm sure they were told to. But yeah, I think people are slowly coming around on this mask thing that they're pretty much done with it.
Well, the whole purpose of it in the first place, in my opinion, and my work with Citizens for Free Speech, is that the First Amendment was under tremendous assault when COVID started. That was part and parcel of it. Remember I said mass formation psychosis forms a scapegoat, and they must silence that scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that process started in 2020 with face masks, with social distancing, with lockdowns, with scaring people to death, making them stay in their homes, isolating them, in other words. This all had a psychological effect to stomp on the First Amendment.
Oh, sure.
Bottom.
Yeah, pay them to stay home.
Well, you know, there's 5 points in the First Amendment. The first one is freedom of expression of religion. And the whole thing has to do with communication, by the way. But they put that one first because they, founders, believed communicating with God was the most important thing you could do. That's a vertical communication. Right after that came free speech, freedom of speech, which is communicating with each other. And then freedom of the press, which you're doing, you're part of that press that's disseminating one message to many people. Mm-hmm. And then the right to assemble peaceably, of course. So when the First Amendment came under attack, you found out churches were closing like, they're dropping like flies all over the country.
Oh, yeah, they were prosecuting and arresting people if they...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible. And then you had, of course, you couldn't gather. And you got canceled and shamed and everything else if you couldn't speak. And if you had a face mask on, nobody could understand you anyway,
yeah.
Even if you tried to speak. So the First Amendment just took a huge hit during the COVID, these last two COVID years. And it's still going on. But this is an attempt to silence the scapegoat. And it's been very effective, I'm afraid. Very, very effective.
What is your guess? Do you think people would go for this again?
I do.
Oh, that's not
I do. And, I'll tell you why. It's that when people in authority stand up and say something that is going to end up being abusive to whoever they're saying it to, people tend to listen, especially when fear is introduced. They'll listen to anything. You know, when the fight or flight urge kicks in, anybody that offers you an open door, you go run through it. But this can happen time and time and time again. The only prevention to that is that if fear does not catch hold, if people don't get scared the next time around, say, we've seen that, you know, been there, done that, get out of here.
Right.
If they don't get fearful, they won't be moved. So the question is, how do you keep people from being fearful? Whatever it is, it's coming next. Well, you know, I'm a good example. I'll go back to cyber attacks right now. The article that appeared in The Hill just recently talking about, because Russia's talking about cyber attacks. Now they said, we're gonna level you guys. We're going to take your whole infrastructure down. We're talking about nuclear plants. We're talking about water plants. We're talking about sewer plants. We're talking about your communication system, the internet itself. I mean, if they pulled this on us, imagine the panic and fear that would take place.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy moly. I mean, you know, the world, people would go walk outside their houses when their cell phones aren't working, going, what happened, man? How am I going to live?
Yeah,
I'm going to stay alive.
Go to use your credit card, and they don't work anymore.
That's right. If you can even get to the bank, because your car might be shut down.
Yeah, or you couldn't go to the gas pump if you can't use a credit card. And it would be mass hysteria.
Yeah, it would be huge. And so, could it happen again? Yes. Fear is always the lead in the propaganda that wants to manipulate you. That's just the way it works. Fear is always the first thing. It's a necessary ingredient for propaganda to work.
Mm-hmm.
So propaganda always starts out with some fear proposition. I don't care what it is. It's something fearful is going to happen. That's why you need to take action now. You know, dial 1-800, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Take action right away. But these people are masters at it, and I can tell you why they're masters at it. Even back in the 1930s, technocracy themselves defined themselves in their own words back then as being arbiters of the science of social engineering. That's what they said about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, "Yep, we're gonna get this science of social engineering thing down to a T." And you look around today, and you have to say, "Well, I guess they really did know what they were talking about. They did it. Here we are."
Yeah, yeah, and what's very interesting is the fact that now that technology has has advanced so much, we don't know what's coming next.
Mm.
And there's so many ways now that they can affect your life through technology. And people can become fearful very easily. And I mean, that's going to be a sign of the times. I think you're right. I think it's coming.
It is always fear,
well,
though.
I know. And it wouldn't take much at this point. Imagine waking up some morning and overnight that the sewer system in your town had been hacked and crippled.
Right.
And so you couldn't flush your toilet.
Yeah, simple thing like that.
Just that alone. Imagine what. Yeah. You feel like you just suffered a home invasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big thing.
All of a sudden, your yard looks like a homeless camp.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. What was it here? Was it last year when they cyber-hacked a food processing plate? It was a meat factory or something they hacked and shut it down, and that affected like half or three-quarters of the United States availability. You know, so it doesn't have to be a big government agency that's hacked or a big municipality or the power grid. Some little thing can have a major effect on society.
Absolutely.
Well, we've done a bunch of shows with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who has been talking about EMP and cyber the hacks and what happens if the grid goes down. He's been talking about that for years. He's kind of like you in the power grid, in the power grid thing. We've just been talking about it forever, and now all of a sudden people are like, oh, wow, what would happen if the power grid went down? It's like, oh!
Yeah. No, we're in.
You guys are probably in the same self-help group.
Yeah.
So, just out of curiosity, I know that you put out like your Technocracy News and Trends always culls all these things out of the media. So I guess I would encourage anybody who thinks, well, I don't know if this is real. You know, we always have our skeptics out there. Or, frankly, it's kind of a scary topic, and you're thinking, I'm just not going to look at that one. I'm overloaded. I have too much to think about. I'm telling you, you should subscribe to his Technocracy News and Trends. Nothing bad has ever happened to me. It's never brought government agents to my door or anything like that. It's full of information. How many hours do you spend looking for articles for that, pulling out things that are actually happening so we can know about them?
I know it's a lifestyle now. Everything I look at, everything I read, I'm reading it with an eye to, is that a story that I want? So I curate news from all over the world, literally, looking for stories that relate directly. I'm painting a picture, I'm not an artist, but Technocracy News is kind of a living example of what technocracy is, and I want to paint a picture for people by selecting these articles from different places and disciplines and so on to show them what those people are thinking, what the other people are thinking, not what I'm thinking. You don't want to hear from me, really. I mean, I could write an article every day, I'm sure. You don't want to hear from me. I'm hearsay at that point. You need to get the original stuff to see what they're saying. That's what our website is all about. It's presenting the picture from around the world, so that you can hear it from their own lips. There's nothing secret. There's no conspiracy here at all. It's not a conspiracy theory whatsoever. It's right out in full plain view. Just people are they're not looking for it. They just say, I'm gonna stick my head in the sand for another year. Well, you can do that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But like the old saying goes, what you don't know can and will hurt you if you stay ignorant long enough.
Well, I think a lot of particularly older folks are like, well, I'm not on the computer, I'm not on the internet, I don't get involved in any of that, so it won't affect me. Yes, it will. It'll affect everybody. You just won't. You'll just be the last one to see it coming.
Well, but how much of this didn't require? This didn't require the internet. It wasn't. It's not technology coming after you necessarily.
Yeah.
It's a it's a mindset. We have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about why you think. Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious why Fauci's gone underground. But how was he able to rise to power and get so much control and get his little minions in all the health departments? And, oh, my gosh, I mean, it was like they all had a secret meeting 10 years ago and have been plotting this coup on American society. Our guest is Patrick Wood. You are listening to We the People. And we aired this today live on March the 6th. I like to put that in there in case we replay this at a different time and you're wondering why we're still talking about Fauci.
2022.
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah.
Could have been a different year.
It could have been.
I could have been teleported.
Yes, sir.
So you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Good job, Bill.
This old man and me were at the bar and we were having us some beers and swapping night on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace, all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
Heavy on the crazy.
Good old Billy Currington, a prophet for our time. I don't know when he wrote that song, but it's like, oh, wow. Kind of hits nail on the head. So what do you think? Like, Fauci just kind of came out of nowhere, somehow had everybody bamboozled, and was suddenly
the authority. Yeah.
Well, you know, he was there all his life, his professional life.
Lurking.
Anyway. He never, like, removed himself from the equation. It's just that he only needs to pop up when he needs to pop up. His work continues, whether he's visible or not.
Going
all the way
the
back
reins
to his early career, if you listen to somebody like Dr. or Professor Judy Mikovits, she'll tell you what Fauci used to do back with the whole AIDS debacle in the 80s and 90s. So he's been there the whole time. But for the most part, technocrats don't like the limelight. They'd rather kind of stay out of the limelight and just make things happen rather than, you know, have to worry about criticism and stuff like that. In any case, Fauci said in that interview he did with Chuck Todd, he said, people are attacking me, but they're not really attacking me. They're attacking science.
Yeah. You can't unsay that.
No, you can't. You know, this is his religion. You know, he's the high priest of the god of science.
Yeah.
And he behaves and acts that way. You know, so when it's necessary for him to come down from the mountain of science and tell us poor peons down here what we need to believe and do, then he does. But if you can do it without making a public statement on TV, you just shouldn't do that too.
What can I always think of this like 2 minutes before the end, so I'm half hour ahead. What would you, besides getting current information and not finding yourself swept up in the fear,
propaganda.
Got any ideas on what people can do? What would you advise people to do so that they don't get swept up in all that?
Number one, don't spend so much time looking at geopolitical issues. Look at your own community.
Hmm.
Get involved with your own town. Get a seat at the table. Get to know your city council people that are making policy for your town. get rid of the ones that aren't performing and get people in that have a clear head and common sense. And I'll tell you, let me explain it why I say that. You can build a firewall around where you live by using the power of the city council, in some cases the county commissioners. But a city council can issue a binding resolution and keep any kind of nonsense outside the city limits that they choose to do so with. This has not been publicized very well, I'm sure, but it is true. And you think of all the towns, for instance, that don't have, say, a Costco, or don't have a Sam's Club, or some other big box store. Many towns across America said, no, you're not building here. And they went on down the road. And they didn't build there. And the reason they would say that, said, well, if we let you build here, you're going to destroy our local businesses. They said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to tolerate that. So you're not going to be able to build here. Well, other cities have said, we're not going to have pre-crime software in our police department, period, gone. Or we're not going to have cameras, no surveillance cameras in our town, gone. The binding power of the city council is immense. And if you really want to have some level of protection around where you live, that's what you have to do. You have to get involved.
Yeah.
And forget about, I'm not saying don't vote, but just forget about getting all wrapped up and consumed by the national or the international or the global issue. And keep your eyes open for sure, but get down and get a seat at the table in your local community and start rooting some of this stuff out where you live, because that ultimately is what's going to get you.
Yep.
You know, it's not, you don't have to worry about bullets in Ukraine. What's going to get you where you live is what your city does to you, ultimately.
Yeah, I think it was pretty interesting during the last couple of years, you know, how many people deal with their public health officials in their community? You know, zero. Most people don't know who they are. They don't, I'm not going to say they don't care like they, you know, they just don't think about it. They're there sort of toiling away in the background. But then all of a sudden they came out with all these edicts. And it's like, who are these people?
That's right. Nobody knew them.
No?
Nobody knew them.
That's become a real, now people are like, we got to keep an eye on these guys. I think this, in a way, this has followed the same trajectory that happens when the left takes power in politics. They, and we're seeing it in this administration, they always go too far, too fast. They push people too hard, and people are, I mean, it's like getting jabbed in the back with a sharp stick. It's like, you know, it's not subtle. And people are done with it.
No, but you're absolutely right. You can affect, on local issues. You cannot really, I mean, you have a say in national issues, but you're not going to affect national issues like you can your local issues and your local government. And you're absolutely right. That's
well, look
what's
at like school boards. How many people never went to a school board meeting and all of a sudden they're recalling them? I mean, when was the last time we had nationwide recalls on school board? I think never, probably.
Right. And that stems from what they're teaching and
exactly. People CRT had no idea. It's like, who are these people? Why are they making our kids do this, that, and the other thing? And city councils, board of supervisors, all of a sudden, there's been a lot more scrutiny.
Yeah, there's some accountability going on.
And remember how it came to us in the first place. I know you all have a good understanding of Agenda 21 over the years. And I know you've heard of organizations like ICLEI, for instance, that was like, I can't even pronounce the acronym anymore, but I know ICLEI.
International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives.
That's
terrifying.
Bingo.
That I remember.
Exactly. How they got to us from the United Nations down to the local level. They went local. They said that. Think global, you know, act local.
Mm-hmm.
They came down to our cities and counties, and they offered us these quote-unquote voluntary programs. And they kind of bypassed the national scene, and they bypassed, in many cases, the state scene altogether. And they just went to the local cities. And they convinced the cities that they should do these things, and so they did. And then, of course, people that rose out of the cities ultimately and went to the county level, went to the state level, went to the national level, they took all the garbage with them. And I'll tell you, you know, we're not going to work from the top down on this anymore. We need to do basically the same thing they did. We need to clean out our local rat's nest and let it work its way up naturally to the higher level.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it has to start. It has to start at a local level to root this stuff out. And it can be done. It's not an impossible thing. Our director of training at Citizens for Free Speech puts it this way. She says, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's on the menu for dinner.
Good point. No, I think if you clean out your or clean up your local government and good people, step in, I think that's what's going to cultivate candidates for higher office. But gosh, we're not doing that now. We're promoting the local bad ideas are getting promoted to big government bad ideas. And
well, it's interesting because I guess the one thing I kind of came to the conclusion, because people wanted, you know, members of Congress to fix the Fauci thing. Well, they weren't making laws. None of these things were laws. They were gubernatorial emergency orders and all that stuff. It was happening below them. They weren't really in a place to make a law to counteract something that wasn't. And I kind of laughed. I thought, you know, you wouldn't go to the same place that's causing problems. I mean, going to the governor to fix his edicts, you don't go to the same place to fix the edict that dished it out. I mean, it has to be implemented locally. And I think once people kind of took him to task on a local level, that defanged him in large part.
There were counties, by the way, in Arizona, for instance, that, because we had a mask mandate here for a time. Our governor, Republican governor, by the way, put a mask mandate on. A bunch of businesses got shut down as a result. You know, it's horrible. But there were some sheriffs and some counties that basically told the state to stick it in their ear and that we're not going to enforce it and we're not going to require it. And they refused to bring the mandate down. So just in the same sense that the state can nullify unconstitutional federal law, counties can also do the same thing.
Yeah.
They can. And people say, they don't think that's possible, but I'm telling you, it is possible. Like, we live right next to a county. We're actually in Maricopa County, which is not the best right now.
I was going to say, you're in the famous county.
Oh, I know. We're in a famous county. Well, right next to us is Pinal County, and the sheriff in Pinal County is... he's just like you and me. He's a straight-up guy, really straight-up. He says, we're not doing that. We're not going to have anything to do with that. And there's still people in Pinal County that wear masks, believe it or not, because they don't have to, but they do it because they're just kind of, you know, browbeaten into it. But it's possible to set those policies in a town, so you're simply not going to do what's illegal at the state level or the federal level. It's not going to do it.
Yeah.
If they don't like it, they can you know, say, well, we'll meet you in court then.
Well, you can't, unless you're going to hold everybody at gunpoint, and there aren't enough of them to do that, you can't make everybody do this stuff. I guess I looked at that with, like, nurses at the hospitals and different things, and people wanted somebody to make that change for them that they didn't have to get vaccinated, because we haven't even gone there yet. But, I mean, my take on it was, well, if you all refuse to do it, they can't fire all of you because they don't have a hospital anymore. Just a giant building with beds in it.
Yeah. A couple of hospitals did shut down, by the way.
Because the people walked away. I mean, I understand.
Well,
I mean, you don't want to walk away from something like that.
They fired them for not getting vaccinated, and others quit as a result.
Right.
Anyway. And they just didn't. They couldn't get enough staff, and so they shut down.
And then they had a crisis. Imagine that.
That's just. I mean, talk about no foresight. Where did they think that was going to go?
I don't think they game these things all the way out. I really don't. I think they figure, hey, you know what? We got them to wear masks for 2 years. I think we tell them all to get a shot. They're going to do that too. And at the beginning, it sort of looked like it was going that way, but. I don't know. Was it as big a fight in Arizona? I mean, I assume it was the same everywhere.
Well, it pretty much was. There was a lot of angst on the street. But I got a call from a lady early on, I think probably in the summer of 2020, lady living here locally, and she got plugged into Citizens for Free Speech. And she was retired. She lived with her husband in a gated community. And she was almost in tears when she called me. She says, "I just don't know what to do. This is it, and there's the mask mandate. And, you know, they're talking real tough and stuff." She says, "I'm scared to death. So I have a little dog, and I like to walk my dog. And my husband has, he's on an oxygen mask, something, couldn't do much. She says, I'm afraid to leave my house because what if I get arrested on the street? And who's going to take care of my husband?" And she'd voluntarily, in a sense, made herself a prisoner inside of her gated community. And you know what? She told me, I listened to her. I tried to console her a little bit and say, that's not going to happen. You know, that's not quite the way it is. But, you know, I hung up the phone after that, and I had to deal with tears for a while, I'll tell you.
I know. That's so sad. But, I mean, that's what...
But she's not the only one.
Yeah, that's the whole fear thing really taking a hold of people.
Yes. I mean,
but she looks like, okay, the world's gone crazy, so could it get crazier? Well,
yeah.
What are you going to tell them? No?
You know, I had a run-in with people at Costco one time where there was a bunch of mucky mucks down from Washington State, the headquarters to the Bureau Shore or whatever, and I recognized them immediately, and I walked in to get some shopping done, and because they all had suits on, you know, people in Washington dress a certain way. It's really yuppie, you know.
So
I knew they were, and I went up and talked to a guy, and I said, you know, we live in Mesa here. Mesa is a community, because they're forcing people to wear face masks going in. You know, they want everybody to wear a face mask. I didn't do it. I just walked right past them, and they didn't arrest me either, but they could have. But I walked up to this guy, and I said, you know what? You want to serve the people in Mesa. We live in a retirement community here, primarily in Mesa, Arizona. Lots of trailers, lots of trailer parks, and, you know, RV parks, really, not just trailer parks, but they're pretty nice. But we have a huge, huge population of retired people. You know, they come to Arizona, the dry climate, for lung issues in particular. A lot of them have emphysema. You see a lot of people walking around with, you know, oxygen bottles in tow, or, you know, whatever little things packs they carry on their side. And, you see a lot of emphysema, you know, all kinds of issues that deal with lungs and stuff. And so a lot of people come to Arizona that way. And you're making them wear a mask in your store, and it scares these people to death. I said, you want to serve the people in our community, then quit this crap. And the guy just kind of looked at me, you know, like his eyes kind of rolled around his head. It went in one ear, picked up speed, and went out the other side.
Yeah.
But, you know, just didn't even faze him a bit. He said, well, in fact, I gave him one of our brochures on, that face masks are harmful. And he said, well, I'll take this back and give it to, you know, whoever.
Give it to the round file coordinator.
I know, it probably made the wastebasket on the way out of the store. But, you know, what happened at the top of the pyramid, there's some people in this whole pyramid that know exactly what they're doing. People like Fauci. He's not an idiot at all. He knows what he's doing.
No, he was, he was put in the right place at the right time if you were a bad guy. Hold that thought. Let's do a really quick break.
Okay.
We'll come right back and roll with you to the top of the hour. So I think what they really want to do is turn us into, you know,
lemmings,
little robots. They'd like to inject us with whatever it takes to, you know, make us just follow orders. So I found a couple songs about that. I thought I'd play them for you guys.
Oh.
You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You're wondering who I am.
Secret, I've got a secret.
Machine or mannequin.
Secret, I've got a secret.
With parts made in
I've been hiding under my skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think we have too many clones running around.
I think we do, too. But see, yeah. They'll make sure they don't clone any of us. I'm pretty sure there's a program deciding who gets cloned and who doesn't, yeah. And we're not on that list.
I'm pretty sure you're not a clone, but... Well, I know I'm not, but maybe I'm not sure about you.
I don't know. Let's find out. So, you know, Patrick, I've been carrying this around for 2 years. It's a little ratty. I used to carry a bunch of copies. But it was the California Department of Public Health thing about the guidance for use of face coverings. And here it says very clearly, the following individuals are exempt from wearing face coverings at all time. Didn't care about the whole list, just like this one part. Persons with a medical condition, mental health condition, or disability that prevents wearing a face covering. This includes persons with a medical condition for whom wearing a face covering could obstruct breathing. Attached with that, I had a note from my doctor that said I had severe asthma, could not wear a face mask, and I'll just tell you, nobody cared about my...
Nobody
cared about the actual rules.
Nope.
Like, no one was actually following the rules. Because those were the rules, but no one followed them.
And they didn't care what you had.
No. And even though they had made a rule that, because I'm thinking, how great is it that you get to, where else do you get to discriminate against disabled people? So I can't breathe. Well, no one cares. But if I was crippled, you'd have to make me a ramp or widen the door or do something which is, I mean, appropriate, obviously. But you can't see my disability. So, you know, obviously it's not real.
That's the way it was around the country, and that's certainly the way it was here, too.
Well, it's still that way with the airlines. Go try to get on an airplane without a mask.
I did. Yeah. Four flights.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the last one, they almost threw you off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was war. I went to war with United Airlines. The other guys were really nice, but, yeah, it was a bad deal. And that's, I guess, the thing with the technocrats. They make the rules. There's no appeal process. There are no rights involved. It basically would suspend everything that we'd become Canadians.
Yeah.
Bottom line. I mean, we could...
Yeah. What blew me away is here they're violating your rights, basically, and nobody really filed... Well, I don't say nobody, but...
I did. I had a lawyer write a mean letter to United Airlines.
Yeah, why wasn't there more lawsuits? I think that would have probably stopped a lot of this, but maybe people were just too scared to be the one.
I think they all got tossed. I don't know. Did you hear any of that? You were really at the forefront. I have a lot of people who have the blue card. That helped people with the mask thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not doing it justice. Explain the blue card if you wouldn't mind, and
Well, it was simply just a placard that people could wear on a lanyard around their neck that stated that that they believe that wearing a mask pose a health risk to them, and that under the law they had a right not to wear a mask. I think that was correct too, by the way, but it's simple. But it just is official enough, you know, where people, some people in stores and so, oh, well, okay, fine, you know, pass on. That's what happened that day, by the way, when I told you I went to Costco. I had that card on, and I walked in, and I just said, I have an exemption, I don't wear a mask. She said, okay, you know, go on in. Everybody else was wearing a mask. But they knew at that point that they couldn't enforce it. In other words, they couldn't call the police in and say, arrest this guy because he came in here without a mask.
Right.
And so, you know, we had them dead to rights. But a lot of people wore our card and had quite a bit of success at getting into places without having, you know, with an exception. And it's unfortunate that I think back on it, it's just like, we have to do this in America.
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly. And you know, I think things like that worked early on. You know, a lot of stores would let you pass and so forth. But as the so-called pandemic,
as the fear set in,
and the fear set in, you were asked to leave. They would not let you in. I mean, we had stores here in town. We just didn't shop at anymore because I knew the minute you stepped in the door without a mask, that you either put the mask on or they had somebody escort you out. And even our local Costco was the same way. At first, they were letting you walk around, and you know you had to have one on when you walked in the door. As soon as you got in, you took it off. And a lot of people did that. But there were people that were basically asked to leave. And
There was one lady, we've told this before, but she had a prescription of hydroxychloroquine filled at the Costco pharmacy. And they called her and told her they were revoking her membership. Because she was trying to infect another shopper that she coughed on them, which didn't happen. But she thought it was pretty weird. She had had the Rona early on and had a prescription of hydroxychloroquine, and they basically dismissed her from being a member of Costco forever. Please don't come back. I thought, wow,
a lot of
HIPAA violation going on there. Let's comb through our customers and find out who's probably a heretic and then get rid of them.
Yeah. This is along the lines of a social credit scoring system in China. Same kind of deal. You don't fit our MO or whatever, you don't like what you think or say or do, you're out of here.
I think people should be incredibly careful about what they're putting. I see so much personal, for a myriad of reasons, so much personal information on Facebook and Twitter and Facebook for whatever. It's almost like it comes with a secret potion that causes people to overshare. But
it does. And that's of course where all of the social credit information is coming from.
Yeah.
They're calling that on you.
They're
volunteering it.
And you're giving them all the tools to make a prison for you later. I don't know.
Right.
It's that kind of stuff is super concerning.
That's right. That's right. And another thing early on that you don't hear so much anymore, I think the lawyers finally got to these people, said, you need to shut up on this. But they would say, well, we're a private business. I used to hear this all the time at, like, what was it, one of the local boutique grocery stores down here. But they said, we're a private business. And we can do whatever we want. And I would say to them, you're absolutely wrong. You are not. You may be a private business, but you serve the public.
Right.
Yeah.
And because you serve the public, you are subject to all the laws and regulations of this county, of this city, et cetera, to serve the public. You don't have the right to do anything you want to do.
No. Go take your wheelchair ramp down and see how see how that works out for you. It's no different.
That's exactly right. And they would just sit there and stare at you. That was a big lie. And then they would even get the police to come in many cases where, they're going to trespass you. Well, at least in Arizona, 99 out of 100 times, they did not trespass you. The police didn't, because they knew that they didn't have a leg to stand on. It would not hold up in court because it wasn't legal.
No.
It was like, well, but the police would escort you off the property on the basis of, well, this is a private business.
Interesting.
But then you get outside and they say, now, don't do it again. Get in your car and get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, now that we're out here, by the way.
Yeah. They had no leg to stand on.
Well, for people that are kind of, they saw this and thought, well, this is a one-off. I think we're pretty clear now that this was just a, kind of a dry run. Definitely not a one-off. I don't know. What would you incur, of the things that you've participated in or read or written, what would you have them do first to get educated? If they're, it's like, oh my gosh, this finally kind of makes sense. So
I know.
Where's
I
the
know.
Next step?
I know. I hate to be self-serving.
I think your book is
books.
A good idea, but,
Yeah. If you don't read a book, then start reading some of the articles on technocracy.news and get in, get up to speed. It doesn't take long. You just have to be willing to face the facts where they are. The bigger question is what you're going to do about it. I'm going to say there's two things. One is get active locally. Don't just sit down and do nothing.
Right.
You have to do something. Get up and get out. Start talking to your neighbors. Talk to friends. I don't care if they like you or not. You say, we're going to talk. We need to talk. get down to your city council, get to know the people that are running your city and setting policies and stuff. City manager is a good one to start with, too. Secondly, you should probably take some evasive actions yourself to be prepared for self-defense, for instance, properly trained to be, you know, able to defend yourself. You should certainly take some precautions to have emergency store, you know, like food and money, perhaps. There'd be a huge war on cash right now. You know, those kinds of things in moderation are just a very smart thing to do right now. Many of us cannot escape the city. It's a nice thought, you know, I'm going to go out and live in a commune somewhere in the middle of New Mexico. This is a great thought. But it ain't going to happen for most people. And in America today, I think they say 60% of all American families don't have enough savings to take care of even a $1,000 emergency. So, you know, people are pretty much where they are right now. They're going to stay there. But you can do a lot of things to take care of yourself, meet your neighbors, get to know them now before anything ever hits the fan, and figure out ways to take care of each other. That's what we're going to have to do. You know, there's some hope in that. I got to go back to New York City when the lights went out many years ago. People outside of New York City thought, oh, no, this is the end of the world for the United States. New York's going to kill itself completely. There's going to be, you know,
guns,
people get shot. You know what? People came out because there's no electricity. They came out the street. And I said, gee, I have neighbors, you know. Oh, hey, I haven't seen you in 3 years. And all of a sudden, they're hugging each other, and they're, you know, they're helping each other, and they're laughing, and they're having a good time making human connections again with each other. And it was a wonderful thing. Of course, New York fell back into disrepair shortly after the power came back on.
Ran back in and locked
it was a fleeting experiment.
No, you're absolutely right, though. In a lot of these big cities, I lived in San Francisco for a few years, and I can tell you, you didn't know your next door neighbor. They would drive in after work, and the garage door would go down, and you never saw them. And that's the way they wanted it. And you go to some of these rural communities, and you know your neighbors. If you don't know them personally, at least you know, you know.
Well, just from a security standpoint, you know, you should know who belongs there and who doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. What they drive and, you know, that sort of thing.
I understand the idea that you don't know who lives in your neighborhood. But
yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, but now's the time to get connected again. And the powers that be right now in the technocracy world want us to be divided. They want us to be isolated. They want us to be devoid of human relationships as much as possible.
And they'd like us to dislike each other a lot and be suspicious.
Yep. Yeah, the whole turn in your neighbor if you see him stockpiling food. Remember that? That was going around for a while.
If they went to Costco.
Yeah. Oh, my neighbor's
maybe
stockpiling
food. Maybe that's why they're putting
food.
Their garage door down when they
call the authorities. Yeah, they're a terrorist.
It just doesn't. It's not stopping anytime soon. But yeah, your book, Technocracy Rising, was 2015. I thought it was older than that, but 2015. It's a very, very good book. It's a quick read. We have a link to it on the site. We've had it on there forever under our We Recommend tab because it's a major heads up for people. I think it's important to know what you're looking at. Like, because of all the education I gotten from you, when Fauci showed up and all this stuff started, I was like, oh, it's the technocrats.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying. A lot of people couldn't figure out what was happening, and God bless them, but it was bad.
Yeah.
Mr. Patrick Wood.
More people waking up.
Oh, yeah.
I think they are, too, and your material is pivotal at technocracy.news, www.technocracy.news. We have those all linked up. Our guest has been Patrick Wood this hour, and we hope to have him back sooner than 5 years. And you can find all his previous programs and all the stuff we've got for you at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down. We can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.